Radio Prague News.
The unofficial head of the Public Affairs Party, Vít Bárta, embroiled in a major corruption scandal, has stepped down as Transport Minister. The Prime Minister has questioned who should head the Interior Ministry, making clear the cabinet will face a shake-up in the coming weeks. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has ended a two-day official visit to the Czech Republic. The unofficial head of the Public Affairs Party, Transport Minister Vít Bárta, hit by serious corruption allegations, has stepped down from his post in the country's cabinet. His notice was accepted on Friday by the Prime Minister and must now be confirmed by the President. Speaking to journalists, Mr. Bárta made clear he was taking the step to prevent damage to the coalition government and its reform plans. The step follows allegations on Thursday that Mr. Bárta gave a high-standing former party member a 500,000 crown bribe. A former deputy leader has made similar claims. Mr. Bárta has denied any wrongdoing and said the alleged bribes were loans. Although he has quit the government, Mr. Bárta confirmed on Friday he will still run for the post of leader of public affairs, in part, he said, to clear his name. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said at his own press conference following Mr. Bárta's announcement that he had expected no other outcome to developments and said there had been no other viable option. He had said he accepted Mr. Bárta's resignation immediately. Speaking on live television, Mr. Nečas made clear he was taking the growing scandal with utmost seriousness and expressed concern over new allegations of ties between government officials and private detective agency ABL. Formerly owned by Mr. Bárta and now owned and run by his brother. In that light, the Prime Minister has cast doubt on whether the Public Affairs Party should keep the post of Interior Minister held by Radek Jón, saying that will be the subject of a meeting between coalition leaders on Friday. Mr. Nečas said in no uncertain terms that the cabinet faces a shake-up in the coming weeks, saying that some ministers were not up to their jobs. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has ended a two-day official visit to the Czech Republic. On Thursday, the Israeli leader met with his Czech counterpart Petr Nečas to discuss a number of topics, including economic and security issues, while on Friday Mr. Netanyahu met with Czech President Václav Klaus and Foreign Minister Karl Schwarzenberg. The visit was the first ever by an Israeli Prime Minister to the Czech Republic, which is a close ally of Israel's within the EU. The visit understandably saw heightened security. At least one civic association organized protests over Israeli treatment of Palestinians. An unknown perpetrator stole a commemorative bronze plaque honoring the late Milan Hlavsa, the frontman and key member of the legendary Czech underground band The Plastic People of the Universe. The theft took place on Thursday in Prague's Jechna Street. The police have estimated the damage at €250,000. The plaque was originally installed 6 years ago. Milan Hlavsa died in 2001 at the age of just 49. I'm Jan Fellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Sarah Baruska. Coming up in today's program, Transport Minister Vít Bárta resigns following a corruption scandal within his party, Public Affairs. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pays the Czech Republic a historic visit and discusses cooperation between the two countries with Prime Minister Petr Nečas. And we bring you all the latest from the world of business in this week's business news. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. Five days of scandal rocking the Public Affairs Party have come to a head on Friday with the resignation of the man recognized as the party's unofficial leader, Transport Minister Vít Bárta. After seeming to consolidate support in the party amid allegations he had bought the silence and loyalty of certain members with up to €1 million or more, he announced he would be leaving the cabinet so as not to damage the government's ongoing work on reforms. For more on this story, I am joined in the studio by Christian Falvey. Hello, Christian.
Hi.
It has been looking like anything could happen within public affairs in this last week, that Vít Bártra would have to go, that Vít Bártra would stay, and public affairs would simply purge its dissenters, and it even looked like the government could fall altogether after just a year. What was the final straw in this decision for Mr. Bártra to step down?
Well, it's difficult to say what goes on within public affairs because their decision-making process has not been very public at all. As of Thursday night, it looked like they were going to go for the second option that you mentioned and simply flush the party rebels who had come out with these claims of bribery aimed at the transport minister. The party leadership wrested control from the dissenters on Thursday evening very strongly. And they cloistered their remaining devotees at their party headquarters, and all of this seemed to point to pretty wide party support for Mr. Bártra. So all the more reason why he came out this afternoon looking visibly incensed and offered his resignation. I think it seems quite clear that it was Prime Minister Péter Necas who put the last nail in Mr. Bártra's coffin. Péter Necas, in spite of all the tremendous stress that this whole situation has put on the government, he seemed, at least in the first half of this week, that he was going to count on public affairs to sort their own matters out on their own, and apparently their method of sorting things out wasn't what he expected at all, and so he has put his foot down definitively on this matter and told public affairs that Bártra simply has to go immediately, it seems. And to be honest, Mr. Bártra fairly shot himself in the foot with this rather unelegant explanation of these bribery allegations. He admits to having given away 670,000 crowns in personal loans on a word of honor with no contract, cash in hand, and a minister simply has to know, especially when he's from an anti-corruption party, that he can't lend a brother a dime under conditions like that.
So Prime Minister Necas actually also just held a press conference within minutes of Bártra's resignation. What could be gleaned from that, and do you think that the government is out of danger?
Well, he didn't mince any words, the Prime Minister, or tiptoe about in his speech. He said the allegations around Mr. Bártra were unacceptable, as was the degree of kind of this symbiosis between his detective agency or his family's detective agency and various ministries. And he promised a proper spring cleaning. So this is probably isn't going to end with Vít Bártra, and it might not even end with public affairs. Prime Minister Necas promised a shake-up. He specifically mentioned the Interior Ministry, which is run by Public Affairs Chairman Radek Yon, which controls the police. But the Education Minister, Josef Dobesh, has been wading in scandals since at least the end of last year. And let us not forget, before we were talking about Mr. Bártra, we were talking about Defense Minister Alexander Vondra of Mr. Necas's own Civic Democratic Party, who has scandals on his plate. So the coalition's credibility is now so badly compromised in the eyes of the public that when Mr. Necas says there's going to be a shakeup, I think you can definitely believe that heads are going to roll.
Okay, well, the Prime Minister has also called for a special meeting of the leaders of the three coalition parties, which is to take place later on Friday, and more information will certainly come in from that. For now, thank you so much, Christian, and we will be keeping you up to date as this story develops. Check radio.cz/en for the latest news. Well, the Prime Minister, Péter Necas, has certainly been a busy man over the last couple of days. On Thursday, he also met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who arrived in Prague for a historic two-day visit. His was the first visit by an Israeli Prime Minister to the Czech Republic. Mr. Netanyahu and Mr. Necas discussed ways of boosting cooperation between the two countries in science and research, industry and defense. The officials also praised the excellent relations between both countries. Jan Richter reports.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at a joint news conference with his Czech counterpart Péter Necas in Prague on Thursday. Mr. Netanyahu is the first Israeli Prime Minister to pay a visit to the Czech Republic. On Thursday, he met with Czech Prime Minister Péter Necas for talks on advancing cooperation between the two countries in science, economy and defense. After the meeting, Mr. Nechas told reporters Israel had an innovative science and research-based economy and added that its technology incubator projects were especially inspiring. But he would also like to extend Czech-Israeli cooperation to other areas.
We would like to extend our cooperation in science and technology to universities and academic research centers. We also discussed economic cooperation in several areas, including the defense industry and the cooperation of our armed forces, for instance, in training and education.
For his part, Mr. Netanyahu said the details should be discussed at joint sessions of Czech and Israeli government officials. The Czech Republic would be the fourth country, after Germany, France and Poland, to hold such joint ministerial meetings with Israel.
We have decided to have ministerial exchanges between Israel and the Czech Republic. That is, that we should have governmental meetings on a ministerial level to put all these programs on a clear schedule and clear accountability on the part of our ministers. They should do what we ask them to do. So obviously, I think this will accelerate the strengthening of the relations between our two countries.
The Czech and Israeli prime ministers also praised the history of excellent relations between both countries. Petr Nečas said Israel was an advanced democracy in an unstable region, while Benjamin Netanyahu thanks his host for the country's unwavering support of the Jewish state.
You've done this time and time and time again, and it's something that is appreciated beyond the question of utility. It's the question of morality. It's the question of moral rectitude. It's the question of honor and dignity. It's a question of truth. You have passed all these tests in ways that I think should serve an example to many, many other democracies in the world. So this is an opportunity, Prime Minister, to say thank you to you and to the government here and to the people of the Czech Republic.
It's not clear, however, whether Czech support for Israel will translate into the Czechs not voting in favor of accepting Palestine as a UN member state, an issue that might be put to a vote at September's UN General Assembly session. When asked about the matter at Thursday's news conference, Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas only said that strategic partnership with Israel should not depend on progress in the Middle East peace process. Before leaving the Czech Republic on Friday, the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, briefly met with President Václav Klaus and the Czech Foreign Minister, Karel Schwarzenberg.
Thanks for that report, Jan. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And now Jan Richter stays with us for this week's business news.
According to data published by the Czech Statistical Office, the country's industrial output is exceeding the EU average, with a growth of 13% year-on-year in February. In the previous month, it had already been on the rise, with 16.4% and 12% in January and December, respectively. The car industry is the single fastest-growing production branch, with an increase of 26.4% in February. Foreign demand is still outgrowing domestic demand. Experts predict that exports will continue to be an important factor for the country's industrial output in the coming months, and say that they are likely to see an improvement on the jobs market.
The Czech-based German-owned car manufacturer Škoda sold a record number of 85,000 vehicles in March, which is the highest amount of cars the company has ever sold in a single month. Škoda has had a strong start this year, with its sales increasing by over 21% in the first quarter of 2011. Škoda further consolidated its position as market leader with a share of 30.6% of the market and a total of 217,000 vehicles sold in the first quarter of the year. Russia, India and China account for the majority of its car sales. On the domestic market, the Octavia Kombi is by far the most frequently sold model, where it is the market leader in the station wagon segment. In 2010, Škoda Auto saw a net profit of roughly 350 million euro, or 8.5 billion Czech crowns.
Along German investors, frustrations with business conditions in the Czech Republic are on the rise, finds a recently published survey by the Czech-German Chamber of Commerce. Among the key complaints of the 73 investors polled are poor payment morale, the lack of legal protection, as well as inadequate transparency of public tenders. However, roughly two-thirds say that they consider the current economic situation satisfactory. About one in two companies expect a rise in revenue this year. Roughly a third responded that their exports to Germany had increased in 2010. German companies are the most significant foreign investor group in the Czech Republic.
Troubles surrounding lottery and betting giant Sazka continue. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek sent a team of auditors into Sazka on Monday to determine if documents had been forged and whether its CEO, Aleš Hušák, had illegally taken money out of the company. Meanwhile, Hušák is reportedly offering an award of 200,000 Czech crowns for information on who is behind hanging three figures of athletes, along with a banner that accuses him of being a grave digger of sports from a bridge near the company's headquarters. In exchange for being allowed to run lotteries, Sazka is obliged to fund sports associations.
If tax incentives for offering employees meal tickets as part of their salary package are discontinued as planned, restaurants could experience a significant decrease in sales, says the Czech Association of Hotels and Restaurants. It has called on its members to oppose the planned change in law, which it says would further strain a sector that has already come under severe financial pressure due to the economic crisis and an increase in VAT. According to a recent survey by the GfK agency, 70% of respondents would limit their number of restaurant visits if they no longer received meal tickets, which could lead to losses of roughly 7.5 billion Czech crowns in sales and some 30,000 jobs in the hospitality sector.
That was Jan Richter, who joined me with all the latest business news for this week. Now in this edition of The Arts, Ruth Frankova takes you to the cinema Aero in Prague's Žižkov district. It's Wednesday night and Kino Aero in Prague's Žižkov district is swarming with people. Despite its slightly run-down interior and uncomfortable creaky chairs, this small cinema has become almost a legendary venue here in Prague, and people don't mind spending the extra 20 minutes or so that it takes to get here from the city centre. I went to meet its manager Ivo Andrle to find out what exactly it is that makes the place so special.
You have recently celebrated 10th anniversary, but as far as I know, the cinema at Prague's Žižkov has been there for much longer.
Yes, what we did celebrate was the 10 years of our company running the cinema, actually. You are right that the cinema opened many years earlier. 1932, I believe, was the opening date, and it's been a cinema since ever then, so we should be really celebrating higher numbers, but even though we do take it as a part of our history now, we still somehow like to divide the whole history into two parts, before us and with us.
What was the cinema like when you overtook?
Aero was one of many cinemas in Prague that after 1989 played the role of like the second hand or second run cinema for any given film that was coming into distribution. The cinema belonged to the city, and the municipality, the people at the town hall, decided that they do not want to support the cinema financially anymore. They will rather start looking for somebody to run it for them. And my two colleagues who were running a very famous pub at the time called the Shootout Eye in Žižkov also, the two colleagues had very close link to the culture life in Prague 3, so they decided why not run a cinema. And they actually won the bit, and in 1998 they opened the cinema without actually having any previous experiences with how to run a cinema, and soon they realized that many more people started to come to the cinema for its atmosphere, because first thing they did as pub managers, they opened a bar in the foyer of the cinema. And much more people were coming for the atmosphere and for the art part of the programmation rather than for the commercial films. So they learned very quickly that what they are running is actually an art house cinema.
10 years later, the situation is quite different, with multiplex cinemas appearing all over the city. But judging from the hustle and bustle here at Kino Aero, it doesn't seem to have suffered. So what keeps people coming here these days?
I'm here to see a movie that was recommended to me by my friends. I don't really know what is it about. But in general, I trust in the cinemas as an art cinema because it usually promotes good quality culture. So that's probably the main reason.
So why often do you come here?
Well, not that often because it's not really downtown. So usually I go to art cinemas, which are more close places where I usually go and where I work and study. So, well, let's say 5 times a year, usually, on average.
Why are you here tonight? To see a Kurdish film? Because it's a part of the 100 project and I've read good reviews and I'm interested in the topic, so... And do you come to Aero often, or did you come because they were showing this particular film?
We go here like once a month to a movie show, because we do not like these sort of multiplex cinemas, so...
Are there any other advantages apart from the program?
The bar.
What about the fact that you can actually carry the beer inside?
I do like that, yeah.
So you actually use this possibility?
Mm-hmm. Every time.
With the arrival of multiplex cinemas at the end of the 1990s, regular cinemas started losing their premiere showings and had to look for new ways to attract visitors. Many established places, such as Bio Illusion at Prague's Vinohrady, couldn't cope with the competition and had to close down. Aero decided not to rely on local distribution only and started looking for other sources of good films. Ivo Anderle again.
So we start exploring other ways of how to put up programming together, not only calling a distributor, but also maybe working with the embassies, going to the foreign festivals, trying to order films from world right holders. And that was just one step from organizing retrospectives of some greatest directors of our times, like Bergman or Fellini.
Nowadays, retrospectives and festivals of all kinds have become a regular part of the program. Just recently, Aero introduced a so-called blind date with Aero. People come to the cinema without knowing what film they are going to see. They only pay afterwards, depending on how they enjoyed the movie.
The most important thing is that any time we do this, which is once a month, we have a good 200 people to come and show up for this. So there is audience that likes to play the game, that is willing to take the risk. Even though it's not so risky, because if you leave the cinema within first 15 minutes of the screen and you go to the bar and say that you've seen the film already, so you get a free beer. Or this year we were the first cinema in the Eastern Europe to start doing the live broadcasts from the Metropolitan Opera. We are now trying to negotiate other cinemas in the country to join the project because we believe it can work in other cities as well. We had no idea how big the opera audience is actually, and it's tremendous. We could probably sell triple the capacity of the cinema, guessing from how many people still is calling and emailing for tickets.
Apart from all that, Ivo Anderle has also established his own production company and runs yet another cinema in Prague called Kino Svetozor. According to him, the key to success is to always keep looking for new ways and new ideas.
Of course, we did a lot of failures, but sometimes, from time to time, we were able to kind of put up something that worked well, and people like it, and people do connect this with Aero. For many people, I think the word loyalty for the cinema really is connected with Aero.
For me, it's Aero as a home, because I live near here, and to come back here to Aero is for me part of my life, of my culture life, and I know that every evening is here a good movie, and I can take the beer or some drink inside, and here is every day a great atmosphere.
it's not as in big multiplex cinemas. It's like at home. So that's why I like to return to IRO.
That was a loyal visitor of Prague's IRO Cinema, sharing their experience in this edition of The Arts with Ruth Frankova, which first aired in March 2008. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with Soundcheck, our Czech language learning program brought to you this week by Ian Willoughby.
Today's soundcheck features a song called Mrholí by the bearded 1960s Czechoslovak pop star Valdemar Matuška. I first heard the cute but likable tune on the soundtrack of the nostalgic 1999 film Palíšky or Cozy Dens. Mrholí means it's drizzling or it's misty. In the song, the drizzle reflects the protagonist's lovelorn sadness. What's interesting here is the construction. Rather than the English construction, it is drizzling. The Czech mrholí, from the verb mrholit, doesn't need the it is, and is therefore a bit simpler. The same goes for other verbs describing weather phenomena. Sněžit means to snow, so it's snowing is simply sněží. Likewise, pršet is to rain, it's raining prší. To shine is svítit, so the sun is shining, slunce svítí. Simple, ne? Mrholí is the present tense form. The past tense takes the neutral ending, so it was drizzling yesterday, včera mrholilo. Likewise, it snowed sněžilo, it rained pršelo, and the sun shone slunce svítilo. All three weather phenomena have occasionally occurred on the same day here in Prague recently. Anyway, I hope you found this edition of Soundcheck useful, and that wherever you are, the weather is fine, and ne mrholí. Naschledanou. Mrholí, to vlhko padá
k zemi mrholí. Ian Willoughby with Soundcheck wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs and others are available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borůvka, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening, and goodbye.